Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman, live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for February the 6th in the year of our Lord, 2019. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, and absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution, but we stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Now, I normally do a recap of yesterday's broadcast. I'm going to hold that off. We may or may not even get to that today. And what happened was I watched the president's State of the Union address, and I read the response from the Democrats. And when I got done, I had a lot of negativity, a lot of disappointment, a lot of frustration, frankly, a lot of anger. And I was preparing my criticisms. And I decided I ought to repent. And I decided what I ought to do is something entirely different. And so I changed course. I switched gears. And I came back and I said, Sam, you know what? You pride yourself saying that you're not about politics. You're about moral issues. And you're not about the game playing. And you're always engaged in solutions radio. And, you know, what would a person like that really do in this situation? And I thought and came up with the answer. I said, you know what I would do is probably give my own State of the Union address and speak bluntly, but candidly, humbly, but appreciatively, direct, but respectfully. Open, honest, real. And so I thought I'd give my own State of the Union address, ladies and gentlemen. And it's going to be completely different from what you hear from politicians. Absolutely completely different. I hope it makes sense. I hope it appeals to our better selves. And it goes something like this. Good evening, my dear brothers and sisters. I know that we're not literally related as brothers and sisters, but I call you this because in America, we are one great family of Americans. And I call you brothers and sisters because I esteem you as such. I don't think the president is above the laborer or the politician, above the principal of a school or the housewife or the rock star pitted against one another. We are all brothers and sisters before God, so I call you such because I esteem you as such. So welcome. I don't address you as parties. I don't address you as anything else, but good evening, my brothers and sisters, my dear fellow Americans. There will be a lot of candid discussions in my remarks this evening. I hope that you don't take them as negative, but rather an honest assessment of the state of our union. I hope to leave on a positive note, full of ideas and solutions and recommendations, and ultimately end with my prayer. My prayer that we as the sons and daughters of God, brothers and sisters in this great family known as Americans, can stand together. Stand together for a cause greater than ourselves. That is the sacred cause of liberty. Thus, I have entitled my remarks tonight, A Valiant Stand for Pioneer Patriots. Brothers and sisters, if we pay attention to my message tonight, victory is assured. And I don't spend my time on the issues of the day, the wall, abortion, partisan politics, divisions on every hand, economic booms and busts. I don't focus on those things because they're trivial. I don't mean they're trivial because they don't matter. I mean they're trivial because there is a thing called cause and effect. They are the effects of bad choices. They are not the cause. The cause are the choices we make. I take my remarks back to the war that was waged in heaven. That unending conflict is in our lives today. I do want to give you a message of hope. Understand that there are two powers on earth, and in the midst of the inhabitants on the earth is on one hand the power of God, and on the other hand the power of the devil. Who's on the Lord's side? Who? Now is the time to show. Understand, my brothers and sisters, in this work there must be commitment. There must be devotion. We are in a great eternal battle, a struggle that concerns the very souls of the sons and daughters of God who we are. We are not losing. We are winning. We will continue to win if we will be faithful and true to that God who gave us life. We can do it. We must do it. We will do it. There is nothing the Lord has asked of us that in faith we cannot accomplish. The war in heaven goes on. It is waged across the world, and particularly in America, particularly over the issues of agency, the freedom to choose, and compulsion. We are winning, and the future never looked brighter. May we be faithful. May we be valiant. May we have the courage to be true to the trust God has placed in each one of us. Be ye therefore not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, even Jesus Christ. Understand that biblically speaking, John the Revelator speaks of our struggle. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels. And the dragon prevailed not. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, his goal to deceive the whole world. He was cast down into the earth and his angels with him. This is in Revelations, if y'all want to look that up. All right. In our society today, ladies and gentlemen, I will speak of principles. I will do my best to advocate for true principle, and I will pray that we, the people, will learn to govern ourselves in a meaningful way. After all, that is the efforts of our founding fathers. Understand that there is amongst us right now an operation going on. I'm going to call it Operation Divide and Destroy. Distract, divide, and destroy on every fault line possible. Right against wrong. Free versus slave. Truth versus error. Male against female. Black against white. Left against right. Republican against Democrat. Pro-life against pro-death. Rich against poor, nation against nation, natural man versus the disciples of Christ, and it goes on and on and on. But the real ultimate goal is to divide us from our Christian history and our godly heritage. I will say that again. The goal is to destroy, to separate us from our Christian heritage and our godly history. America has been, and believe it or not, is still the freest and most prosperous nation this world has ever known. The leadership, the vision, the wisdom that our founding fathers displayed in their day is truly breathtaking. As we consider the many miracles that they received as they built this great nation, Any honest person will come to no other conclusion than, as Ben Franklin said, it is inspired of God. It is discouraging, ladies and gentlemen, that we Americans are so willing to turn our back on such a rich history and such a sacred legacy as to forget our inspired American godly heritage. It is disappointing even furthermore that we look to these popular leaders, these government institutions that have destroyed America as our hope in the future. If we reject our American heritage, my brothers and sisters, and if we put false faith in popular leaders involved in plans to destroy America or to advance their own careers or to get financial gain, we will truly make a colossal error. We will lose our liberty and we will learn the hard truth. We will realize our awful situation by persecution and trials. We cannot, we must not turn our back on God. I will do everything within my power as your president to make sure that never happens. Pioneer Patriots, ladies and gentlemen, is the idea that each one of us has not only a stake in, but a sacred responsibility to protect our liberties. Okay, the time to pretend we can sit on the sidelines, my fellow Americans, is over. The time we can deceive ourselves with a false idea that we can't make a difference is over. The time for the enemies of freedom to remain unchallenged is over. I'll continue. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com. and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
All right, I'm calling for Pioneer Patriots. My brothers and sisters, a clarion call. The time that we can deceive ourselves with a false idea that we cannot make a difference is over. The time for the enemies of liberty to remain unchallenged is over. The state of our nation, ladies and gentlemen, the state of our union is in dire straits if we continue to turn our back on God and family. On the other hand, if we make a critical course correction immediately, my fellow Americans, we shall have liberty well into the future, and our future is indeed bright. My fellow Americans, the satanic, deceptive, false, foregone conclusion that the fat lady has sung in America, that there's nothing we can do about it, it's over, stick a fork in it, when it comes to we the people suggesting we're too fat, too lazy, and too dependent, that idea is gone. The idea that we are disenfranchised and sidelined is over. Ladies and gentlemen, understand the power of one is valuable, is critical, is necessary to restore the republic and the traditions of our founders, to understand our godly heritage and to insist on understanding who we are and what we're about and why we're here is essential. In other words, we need a reality check, ladies and gentlemen. We are in a war that was started in heaven between God and Satan. It is about God, family, and country. Okay, the family is a sacred institution. I am now pushing for a call to action. We need solutions to restore the republic and the traditions of our founding fathers. All right, I've got 10 ideas that can help us understand what we need to accomplish. After all, who and what is government? We are the government, my fellow Americans. There is no honor in delegating to another that which we can more effectively do for ourselves. Furthermore, we have no authority to assign government a task which we don't have authority to do on our own. In other words, if we don't have authority to do something on our own, then by logic it must follow that we can't delegate authority that we do not possess to government to do it on our behalf. The government that governs closest to the people governs the best. So I am encouraging us to engage in these 10 solutions. They can be done on an individual basis, a family basis, a societal basis. They can be accomplished without waiting on others or depending on others. They can be accomplished with or without lots of money. In fact, we encourage all liberty-loving Americans to intentionally make, listen carefully to me, intentionally make and learn to live on less money as part of our solutions. Yes, I said make less money. And I know in modern day economics, that's disaster. But I'm talking about the economics of God, the economics of family, not the false prosperity on fake money of nations. Understand that there's a provable track record of success in the solutions I will propose. All solutions, by the way, will require significant personal and family and societal sacrifice. By the way, I, as your president, don't create these solutions. I merely articulate them because they are easy to understand, and they will allow us to restore the republic based on existing tried and true principles. These solutions are not listed in order of importance. Rather, they can be accomplished either whole, together, or one at a time. Ladies and gentlemen, I deplore you, or implore you. I exhort you. I beg you. Number one is critical. We need morality in the people. And the reason I say that the nation is in peril, the reason that I say we live in perilous times, the reason that I say the nation is in dire straits, is there is not morality in the people. We need to obey the Ten Commandments on a personal and a family level. Our society will never be stronger than its families. Never. We need to make the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights, the political religion of our nation. Okay, de Tocqueville said America's great because America's good. He referred to the morality of the people, my fellow Americans. Number two, he who owns the media makes the rules. Stop the twerk and get to work, ladies and gentlemen. Reject the bread and circus for sound principles. Turn off the sex and violence-driven extreme enemy of the people media and replace it with a good, moral, educational media opportunity. Grab the plug on the yesteryear media and yank. You must become part of the new media taking center stage. You can become a columnist, a talk show host, a blogger. You have a role to play. Get on your knees and ask God how you will participate in the restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. We can put in less than a dollar a day and put our money where our mouth is. Patrick Henry's Give Me Liberty address, highlights the importance of being absolutely dedicated to our sacred cause. We need to pursue liberty, justice, and independence. Our conditions of living might be different than the founding fathers. However, one thing has not changed. Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. And without monetary funding and involvement by the private sector, we're in trouble. There are solutions, my fellow Americans. We can be the most charitable people on the planet, not by government force, but by our big hearts. America gives more around the world on a voluntary basis than any other country, bar none. And I want to see it absolutely continue. And I, as your president, will lead by example. I will be creating funds. I will be putting money into those private sector funds of charity, and I will be inviting you Americans to join me. Remember, we're brothers and sisters in these sacred causes. By charity, we can eradicate poverty. We can make a difference. We can truly lead the way. And we lead the way individually, and we lead the way by using the fundamental unit of society. That is the family. Ladies and gentlemen, there are answers in this republic. Okay, we need to end the education department. We need to rely on the county sheriff. We need to focus on local and state venues for solutions. We need to reduce the size and scope of the federal government by intention. The founding fathers envisioned a very small but effective federal government designed to only do that which is listed in the supreme law of our land. Anything more or less than this cometh of evil. Everybody wants to listen to the president, and the president's supposed to be this magic man coming up with all ideas for solution, all ideas for answers. This is wrongheaded, ladies and gentlemen. You cannot rely on the arm of flesh. You can rely on God's program, which is individuals keeping his commandments, turning to him in prayer, praying for his protection, praying that he will prosper us, and then getting up and working within the fundamental unit of society, the family, to bring it about. In other words, work like it's up to us and pray like it's up to the almighty author of our liberty. Just imagine if nobody watched the debates. Just imagine if nobody cared about politics and parties and divisions, but we stood together as the family of God, the family of America. And imagine if we judged the laws in fully informed juries. We the people can make a difference. Run for office, my fellow Americans. We need to find good and honest and wise Americans to run for office. If you can't run for office, take the time to support one who is honorable and who will swear an oath and keep it to the supreme law of our land, the Constitution. Reject the spirit of party. The party is over, ladies and gentlemen. Become a constitutional American. Reject all parties and career politicians. George Washington rejected the spirit of party as well. Become politically unaffiliated. The party is over. Vet, fund, and support only those who will keep their oaths of office and who actually have a track record of success in the private sector. Never accept the often told lie that you must have a track record in government or be a government politician to assume office. They want you to believe if you haven't been a congressman, a senator, a governor, then you're not qualified to run for president of the United States. I'm here to tell you that's a lie. We, the people, are the genius of America. A couple of more solutions in my short State of the Union. We're in trouble. But we can make a valiant stand, and the future will look incredibly bright if we do.
Proclaiming liberty across the land, you're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump delivering his State of the Union address last night, again claiming victory over ISIS and saying it's time to bring U.S. troops home from Syria as well as Afghanistan.
Our troops have fought with unmatched valor, and thanks to their bravery, we are now able to pursue a possible political solution.
President Trump saying great nations don't fight foolish wars for years. The president also demanding an end to what he called ridiculous partisan investigations. For the first time in U.S. history, an African-American woman gave the opposing party's response. Democrat Stacey Abrams says she doesn't agree with President Trump on many issues, but she also doesn't want him to fail. And this is USA Radio News.
Cars that sound like this. Trust Pennzoil Synthetics to protect their engines in extreme conditions. Top racing teams know that Pennzoil Synthetics give them the performance to help them succeed. And your car's engine deserves the same. Because your daily commute is no less important. Get complete protection for top engine performance just like the pros. Visit Pennzoil.com/rebate to save on Pennzoil Synthetics. Terms apply.
Let's think about customization presented by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Liberty Mutual customizes your auto insurance so you only pay for what you need. So why can't more things in life be customizable? Why can't I buy Neapolitan ice cream without strawberry? Can't I just have the chocolate and vanilla flavors I'm comfortable with? Do people even want a fruity ice cream flavor sandwiched right between the classics?
Go to LibertyMutual.com for a customized quote and you could save.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Coverage is underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Equal housing insurer.
More now on last night's State of the Union address and some of those in attendance by invitation. Here's USA Radio's Robin Walensky.
One of the people President Trump inviting to attend the address on Capitol Hill, a boy bullied over his last name, Joshua Trump, harassed by classmates at his school in Delaware, his parents telling local TV stations their son cursed at, in addition to being called an idiot and stupid. Now also invited to the State of the Union, a 9-year-old girl who has survived brain cancer and relatives of a couple killed in their Reno, Nevada home by an illegal alien. The president also inviting a Holocaust survivor who survives the shooting at the Tree of Life Synagogue, where 11 people shot and killed while praying.
A North Texas man is dead after his vape pen exploded. The Tarrant County Medical Examiner says the Fort Worth resident was killed when an artery was severed by remains of that device. And this is USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, so I tell you that the State of the Union is in dire straits if we continue to turn our back on God. However, I submit to you that victory is assured if we make a valiant stand and we become pioneer patriots. I, for one, love this great nation. I, for one, believe God's hand is on this nation. And I, for one, am convinced that we can make a course correction. And if we do so, we will have the American dream. We can make a difference. We will not be disenfranchised. The power of one becomes two, then becomes the few, then becomes the many. And we can truly take this call to action seriously. We can become victorious, but we will never do it without God. We will never do it without obedience to his commandments. And we will never do it by ignoring the God-ordained family. We need to reject the sex and violence. We need to embrace the principles of the one who gave his life on the cross for each of us. And we must obey his admonition to follow him. When it comes to government, it is called the ultimate downsize operation. We need to reduce the size and scope of government, because if we're self-governed under God's law, most government will become unnecessary. as we live together as husbands and wives and as males and females, as God intended, he will bless us. He will protect us. He will prosper us. We need to reduce and wean off of government slowly. It's like getting off addictive drugs or landing a plane. Ending this kind of out-of-control government spending overnight is not doable. It cannot happen immediately. It will take time, but the below formula can be successful. Number one, freeze all unconstitutional government programs at their current levels. Let all government current provisions sunset. Encourage all Americans to exit these programs and provide small incentives to do so. Phase out and over time ramp down sections of programs that are unconstitutional, eventually to end them completely over time. On an individual, family, and church basis, plan for and work towards becoming truly independent. Churches and private charitable organizations can fill the gap if we give them time and get out of the way so they can do so. We need to eventually audit and end many, many government programs. The IRS is a great example of the terror that has been used against the American people for too long. We need to intentionally make less money, not more. The issue is honesty. I hereby call on Congress to abolish the unconstitutional Federal Reserve and return to honest money immediately. If we do not have honest money in our society, we will never be honest in our dealings, and we will never have transparency in the proper role of limited and constitutional government. Never. The issue is honesty. I pray that we will be honest before God. I pray that we will cleanse the inner vessel. I pray that we will turn to God and repent and forgive. And then I pray that we will get up and go to work and teach ourselves through the good word of God and those around us to understand correct principles and learn to govern ourselves. The founding fathers did it and created the greatest country on the face of the earth, bar none. Do we have our problems? Make no mistake, yes, we do. But never let Satan deceive you into believing all is lost. He is the destroyer. He is on the earth and will destroy everything we hold dear if we fall for his lie. We believe in God and we follow God. That is the course our founding fathers gave their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honors for. I, for one, invite all Americans to join me in a course correction. And I, for one, exhort all of you to turn to God, family, and country. And as we do so, as your president, I promise you great blessings. I promise you a bright future. And I promise you unprecedented protection from God and liberty. The only question left is, are you willing? Are we the people willing to follow the formula the founding fathers laid out for us? And are we going to claim our legacy and make it reality today and put God, family, and country first? Or will we squander their sacrifice and through the divisions cooked up by Satan and his minions to destroy everything we hold dear? Ladies and gentlemen, we the people, our government, the power is in your hands. I beg you, I encourage you to make a valiant stand. And if we the people are willing to do so, I declare victory assured. God bless every one of you. All right, there's my State of the Union, ladies and gentlemen. James Edwards and Kirk Crosby are here to break it down with me. Welcome, gentlemen.
Good morning, Sam. How are you?
Fantastic, my friend. Hi, Kurt.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
All right. Kurt did watch the State of the Union from President Trump. He didn't get a chance to hear all of my State of the Union. Hopefully he can go back and listen to the archives. He's traveling today, ladies and gentlemen. But James Edwards heard every word. Imagine if a president stood boldly, nobly, and independently like that, James.
Well, Sam, if what you said during the first 30 minutes of this show had been what the president had said last night, it would have certainly been much better. If he had said what you said during the first 30 minutes of today's show, he would have at least said something. I don't even think after going through that experience last night, I can even say that he did that. It was boring. It was low energy. I thought in many cases it was embarrassing. It was subdued. You know, when we do our radio programs, I do my show for 3 hours every Saturday night. And in those 3 hours, it seems to just go by. It's very fast paced. It's, a lot going on, a lot of action. Goes by maybe 30 minutes. Last night, it seemed as though the hour and a half he was delivering this address, it seemed like it was 3 days. And he didn't say anything. To me, he didn't say anything. I mean, he said a lot of things. It's just a flat. We talked about this last night on the phone, Sam, just very briefly. It did not seem like it was a State of the Union address, especially at a time when America is literally at the precipice of just coming apart over the seams, over racial discord, over tribal politics, and the new cause du jour, which is to not just murder your babies, which you've been able to do now since 1977, but to murder them even after they're born.
73,
this
actually.
Is where we're at. 73, excuse me. And then all of these women, I love Jesse Lee Peterson's tweet last night. All of these Democratic women were dressed in white to show that they stand in solidarity with women who want to murder their babies or some such. And Jesse Lee Peterson said these Democratic female lawmakers who proudly support infanticide should be wearing black instead of white as a symbol of their dark and wretched souls. But this is where we're at in American politics. And all of this stuff, we so much rancor over the border. I just don't get what Trump was driving at last night. I don't get it at all. Calls for unity. Yes, Sam, you're right what you said. Let's not be a party. Let's be a people. But that ship has sailed in America. That could have worked up until, and I'm sorry to say that. It doesn't bring me any joy to say that. But you can forget it. That would have worked from the time of our founding all the way up to the mid-1960s when they passed that horrible Immigration Act. And maybe even a few years past that, but before the disastrous effect of that act set in. But what you have now is not one people. I mean, these people don't consider themselves to be American. They're going to look after number one first. And you have so many people now of different cultures and who have no allegiance to God. You mentioned the name of Jesus Christ in your first 30 minutes today. That would have never passed the lips of the president. I mean, even the people whose signature issue is to murder babies after they're born. I mean, even they will make some generic reference to some cosmic butler in the sky, but they're not talking about the God of the Bible. They're not talking about Jesus Christ. It's just words. It's just words that you could have heard anybody said. He made Jeb Bush last night look like Mick Jagger, and I don't think we heard anything last night that we wouldn't have heard from a guy like Jeb. That was not the president that so many of us voted for. Utterly embarrassing. Awful.
Ladies and gentlemen, there you go. I appreciate his call to get rid of late-term abortion, and I appreciate his call for unity. But I believe unless you push to what brings unity, you haven't gone far enough to make a difference. Quick pause. Kurt's thoughts in seconds.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
All right, let's double down and get Kirk Crosby's take. Welcome, sir.
Well, thank you, Sam. You know, I guess that was one of the main reasons that I didn't want to hear exactly what you had to say about it, and I'm frankly a little bit surprised about what James had to say, but hey, the wonderful thing about America is everybody can, you know, listen and see their own, have their own takes. When I look at, for example, the Drudge Report, it says, Trump wins over Dems after touting job gains for women, calls on divided Congress to end political stalemate, takes swipe at Mueller investigation, longest address since Clinton 2000, reporters stunned by appeal to both sides, NBC News, Chuck Todd blast theater of the absurd, Ocasio-Cortez refuses applause for cooperation, compromise, common good, CNN says 59% had very positive view of speech, ratings rise over 2018 Obama. Anyway, then you got these few that, one more, you know, a few more little headlines. Trump rocks the House. We will never be socialist country. Bernie scowls. CBS poll, 76% approve of speech. So, in my opinion, you've got a president who has found out, like most of us have learned, that when you get to Congress and the whole government thing with the president, the Congress, even when the Republicans think they run the Senate, they don't really run the Senate. And of course, it all depends on which kind of version of Republican you're talking about, the Rand Paul type or the Mitch McConnell type. You've got a Senate that's held by what I'd call the insiders. And until you get 60 guys like Rand Paul or Mike Lee, or maybe even Ted Cruz, you're not going to have the kind of Senate we'd hope for. You've got a House that's basically held by, well, you've got Nancy Pelosi, and then you've got the whole group that want to be socialists because they've recognized the fact that if they hand out stuff to their voters, they'll get more votes. That's why you see this move more and more to things like the new green, whatever they want to call it, you know, deal, and they're just basically pushing more and more socialism. So I love to see the president when he brought up the Venezuela debacle. And he pointed out after that, really close to it, that we are not going to be socialists. I thought it was fun to hear him say, and everybody looks forward to the things they want to hear or they hope for things that they would like to see move forward. He did say he wanted to bring forth school choice. I'd prefer to eliminate the Federal Department of Education, but at least if they're going to put school choice on the front burner, then that's cool if you ask me. So there's a whole bunch of I guess you could say it's compromising, but to get the things done that you want to get done in a Congress like we've got, I don't see any way around having to, you've got to do that kind of stuff or else you're just going to basically get nothing of your, or none of your issues done, like the border and things like that. But anyway, I don't know if that's much of a summary. I did watch it and listen. I listened first in audio while I was driving and then did watch it the best I could. And so, you know, that's my take.
So what would you give it? 10 being the most incredible George Washington-esque speech, if you will. 1 being the worst speech ever. What would you give it, Kurt?
I'd probably go in the 7, you know, range. But the problem is I'm putting it based on, you know, where we are in America, not where we, I guess, where I'd hope we would be, but where we are. And I hope for, you know, as I've often said, I want to go after Moby Dick in a rowboat and take the tartar sauce with me. I'm going to try to do the best I can to take where we are and do better. And I see the president doing his best under the circumstances he's in, and I applaud him and his efforts.
All right, what do you give it, James?
I would give it a 3. I think I would give it maybe a 5 if it was given by somebody like Jeb Bush or any of the other field in the save Rand Paul in the GOP primary of 2016. I hold Trump to a little bit higher standard based upon his promises. So therefore, what he delivered last night, you got to grade him a little harder. At least I do. So I give him a 3. And I don't disagree with what Kurt was saying. What Kurt was saying is true, of course. I mean, yes, I could go through that hour and a half and pick out, you know, some select sentences or lines here and there and say, you know what, I agree with that entirely. And what he's saying wasn't untrue, but it was just, to me, it was just sort of a flowery type of thing that you would expect to hear. We need to come together. We're one nation. We're great. And we're going to work together. I mean, yeah, that all sounds good, but the signature issue is the border. And I think he droned on for a while. About 45 minutes in, he finally mentioned the border, but he mentioned it in large part to just say, you know, I'm okay with us losing America, just so long as we lose it legally. And I think in what little he did talk about the wall and the immigration issue last night, it's a mistaken premise to think that the Democrats, or their base, care about stopping illegal immigration. The whole point is to replace the American people. So if you're replacing the American people by just saying, okay, everybody can come here, let's just make it legal, why aren't you then advocating just that we say anybody that sets foot on this soil is an instant American, rather than pretending you want to build a wall, if that's what it's going to be? But he profusely praised legal immigration, even saying he wanted the largest numbers ever of immigrants. And I thought that was a betrayal of his 2016 mandate. He spent more time talking about ending HIV. You know, we're going to get some miracle cure to HIV. More time talking about historical issues from 100 years ago than the problems we face now in many ways. So I don't know. I hate to be black-pilled on this, to use the parlance of our times. I mean, typically, you know, a lot of people are harder on Trump than I am, and I always try to see it from rose-colored glasses. But with all the rancor we've had, yes, give peace a chance. I get it. But these Democrats, it's a fool's errand. The Democrat, it's the right thing to say. Don't get me wrong, but the Democrats aren't going to come to the table and do away with party allegiance for the sake of you know, what's best for the country. They're just not going to do it. They're a godless people. I mean, you're talking about people who are advocating now publicly and full-throatedly for infanticide. It just left me underwhelmed. I can see why Kurt says what he says, and I agree with him looking at it from his perspective, but from what I expected, what I'd hoped for, it left me underwhelmed.
All right, I've given my State of the Union. I have not given my thoughts on the president's speech yet, and I wanted you guys to go first so I don't taint your views, and I understand James's point, and I understand Kurt's, and I think there's validity to both of them. I would simply say Sam delivers State of the Union is what I did first. because I don't want to just complain. But I truly felt like President Trump's delivering of the State of the Union address was super low energy. That's what I think. I didn't disagree with several statements President Trump made, but there was nothing that made me feel the Spirit of God, and there was nothing that made me feel like he's on fire with the sacred cause of liberty. I got the impression that he was trying to say, how can I appeal to the most people so I don't completely melt down? How do I get everybody to stand up for me so I can get a lot of praise for the nation? How can I say enough of the right things to the right people not to lose my base? How can I just not completely melt down? Now, you say, well, Sam, that's not fair. And my response is, you know what? I don't know if you know, but President Trump has met with Henry Kissinger like 3 times. Did you know that? He's met with Henry Kissinger like 3 times. And when that happens, I get very concerned about our nation. He met with Henry Kissinger, and here's what happened.
Henry Kissinger has been a friend of mine. I've liked him. I've respected him. But we've been friends for a long time, long before my emergence in the world of politics, which has not been too long. But we have been really in the, I guess you'd say, the New York seat a little bit, but we got to know each other very well. He's a man I have great, great respect for. He's also somebody, usually I say, have you ever been in the Oval Office? And with Henry Kissinger, I didn't bother asking that question because he has been in this office many, many times. But it's an honor to have Dr. Kissinger with us, a man of immense talent and experience and knowledge. And I'm going to talk to him for a while and we're going to learn a lot. But I can say from a world standpoint and with many of the countries that Henry and I would talk about before the election, because I would talk with Henry before the election, we've made a lot of progress with many of them. We have some outstanding and we'll handle that as we have to handle it. But we've made a lot of progress in the Middle East with ISIS and so many other things. It's a much calmer place. Henry, I say often, I inherited a mess, but we're fixing it. So you may want to say something, and thank you for being here, Henry.
All right, now listen to Henry Kissinger.
Mr. President, I didn't expect this opportunity. It's always a great honor to be in this office. And I'm here at a moment when the opportunity to build a constructive, peaceful world order.
He wants to build a constructive, peaceful world order. Code, shadow government.
It's very great.
All right, that's the meeting President Trump had with Henry Kissinger. And ladies and gentlemen, I cannot believe the State of the Union is in good hands when we go to and praise people like Henry Kissinger. All right, and so I fear for the state of our union. And I get Kurt's point that we got to look at where we are and try to make things better, and I completely agree. I also agree with James that he didn't cover the things that we would want to hear. But I look at it more, I realize that we live in the real, and Kurt's points are to living in the real, to doing the best we can with what we've got. I agree. But I teach more to the ideal and say this. I believe our State of the Union is in absolute trouble. And I believe that even though I don't want to go negative, you cannot ignore those things. Or at some point, you miss the opportunity to help us change course. And it is my conviction that when they're literally, openly, blatantly on TV saying, hey, we will deliver a baby, we'll keep it nice and comfortable and warm and safe and secure while we plot its murder. And then you got the President of the United States meeting with Henry Kissinger and the likes of him, globalist elitists, I believe Satan and his minions are all about distraction and destruction of the greatest country on the face of the earth. And I, for one, cannot remain silent with that happening. And either President Trump is deceived or he's in with them. I don't know which, but I know that I've got to stand up and make a clarion call for solutions. Hour one in the can, hour two coming up. We'll break this down further. Sam, James, and Kurt, this is Liberty Roundtable. And we declare this nation shall endure.